Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here. We've come here today to celebrate Moses' life. He was a person who lived life to the full. He didn't waste a minute of it. And he didn't want us to cry for him, but we will. He would have preferred that we had a laugh, and we will. And I'm sure he's laughing now as he looks at what's happening here. I think he wouldn't have believed that so many people would have come together for this event. But I had a feeling that that's what would happen, because he had a lot of enemies, but he had a lot of friends as well. So welcome to everybody, especially those that have come a long distance. And a special welcome to Moses' mother, Sheila, who's with us today. It's a very difficult thing. No mother should have to come to the funeral of her only son. Moses was very clear about what he wanted. He wanted it kept very simple. He didn't want any fuss making. He didn't want any religion at his funeral. And so that's what we're going to try and do. Keep it simple. There's a number of people that have asked to speak, and so there's a list in your program. After that, we'll have a slideshow of pictures of Moses, and then after that, anybody that wants to speak is welcome to. Obviously, we'll have to keep it quite short because there's a lot of us and a short time. But after this service here, we'll be going to the Philadelphian, and there'll be unlimited time there. People can say whatever they want. We want to hear the stories. We want to know what his life was like. He was somebody who was involved in a lot of different things, and I'm sure that none of us knew everything that he was involved in. So it'll be good to hear from everybody as the various aspects of his rich life. The one thing that we need to be clear about, though, so yeah, keep it short, but the one thing that Moses was very clear about that he wanted, we want no sentimental, middle-class bollocks. That's in the words of the prophet. There'll be a collection taken up for anybody that wants to help with the expenses. Any extra money that we raise, we're hoping to organise an exhibition of his work. He was, a very prolific photographer. He did some wonderful stuff, and we're hoping that we can get that blown up and shown properly. I just want to say briefly some words for myself. I've known Moses for 8 years, as long as I've been in Sheffield, and he was a very close friend of mine. We've been through a lot of stuff together, Crown Court and police cells and all sorts of things. Like I say, we don't want any rubbish here. He could be a right royal pain in the backside, and I think we all know that. We've all experienced that. Some of you will have had very painful experiences with him. But through all that, I was always able to forgive him, no matter what he did. There was something about the charm of him that he always won your heart back again. He won our hearts back again. I understand there's a counter demonstration up the road that the fascia are organising it. He came across as being an angry young man, and he had had a very difficult life. There's no doubt about it. And he suffered from bipolar. He had all sorts of things that he was dealing with. And in most of the time I knew him, life was a real struggle for him. I think the tragedy of his life is that he was just starting to turn it around. In the last couple of years, things had really changed for him. He hasn't called me up to police cells in more than 2 years now. He got a house. He was very active with his photography and doing all kinds of really productive stuff and active stuff. Things are really going well for him. This is hard to say, and it would be hard for his mother to hear, but they'd been estranged for a long time. The last thing that he said before he went into intensive care was he asked somebody to get in touch with his mother again. We know that he wanted to ask forgiveness for what he'd done. He wanted to make it up with his mother. And she did come, and she was able to come to the hospital and forgive him. But sadly, he was already unconscious by that time. So I think that's another... There's been a lot cut off. There's a lot of things that Moses could have done with his life had he lived longer. Restoring that relationship with his mother, that was one of those things. So it's a real tragedy that he's been stopped from doing all the things that he wanted to do with his life. But nonetheless, as I say, he did live life to the full. So that's all I'm going to say at this point. And I'm going to ask Sam now to come up.
I just echo really what Dave said. Thank you to everyone. I'm sure he wouldn't appreciate it remotely. He'd just probably tell you all to sod off back home, knowing Moses. But I've written a few things down, but it's impossible to sum Moses up in a few paragraphs on a piece of paper, really. He was irritating, opinionated, annoying. He had an aroma that was as unique as his personality. But that didn't matter because he had a kind heart and he was a good soul and he was a bloody good friend to me. I first sort of became aware of Moses in my teens, where, hard to believe it now, but I was this young slim thing with a big green Mohican. And everywhere I went, he was there, following me around. And even my mum would say, that weird lad's there again, I'm sure he's following you. And then I moved on to Kelvin at the age of 18, and because his mum Sheila lived there and he was always there, but he never ever spoke to me, never said a word. And then I started working with Sheila, Moses' mum, and again he still never spoke to me, but was always there, little shy smile, believe it or not, and sort of looking at me. And then it wasn't until I sort of started a relationship with a friend of his that he finally had the excuse to actually come and talk to me. And that was it. I never got rid of him after that. So I've known him more of my life than I hadn't known him. I could tell you all sorts of stories. Back from the Kelvin days, he was this mad angry anarchist then. And I can remember during one of the election campaigns, him plastering Kelvin flats with big posters that said, "Vote for nobody because nobody cares." And that was his thing at the time. And he stuck them everywhere. And during the time that we lived on Kelvin, he was really active in fighting for the rights of the tenants. Including during the clearance programme, where I was the chair of the Tenants Association during the whole time, and he was really, really involved, even though at that time he wasn't actually living there. But he was instrumental in making sure that the last few tenants that were on there actually were provided with two-way radios for their own security, because he was so worried that people were on there, they were vulnerable, the council weren't looking after them. So, you know, that's one of the things that he did. He took it upon himself to make sure that people were safe. And one funny thing that I do actually remember, for all his annoyances, when you needed him, he was always there. And the day that I moved from Kelvin Flats, loads of people have said, "We'll come and help you, don't worry, we'll be there." And he was the only one that actually turned up. And the reason I remember is he climbed, we'd got everything packed in the van. He climbed into the cab, shut the door. The driver put his foot down to set off. He leant sideways onto the door, hadn't shut it properly, and went flying out of the cab onto the floor, and it was sprawled on his back on the car park. And he'd got a light bulb in his pocket that he'd stolen out of the lift as one final goodbye. So he just had this big crunch as he landed on his back. But he turned up. He was the only one that turned up to come and help me, which was great. And also during our time on Kelvin was when it was the big poll, the anti-poll tax things as well. And I'm sure loads of you will remember, Moses turned up to court with a sooty puppet. And that was his legal representative for the day. That was his Mackenzie's friend. And he refused to talk to the judge and had to be addressed through sooty. So, and that was just typical. That was typical of Moses. If any way he could screw the system, he would do it. But it was all done fairly legally, because that's what we all did. Ask for a Mackenzie's friend, but he chose sooty as his. So over the years, we've always kept in touch. Sometimes there'd be times I'd not seen him for maybe up to a year. I think during the Matilda years, we didn't see him very often. But he'd always come back. He'd be walking someone's dog in Rivlin and he'd pop in for a cuppa. So he never, ever lost touch. But you always had to rely on him coming to you because he never had a phone. You'd never get hold of him, but he would always turn up. So we always kept in touch, and it didn't matter because wherever he could just pick up where you left off with Moses. Didn't matter how much time had gone by. It was always just the same old Moses, and he was always there for me. Whenever I had a rough time, if I was having a bad period in my life, he'd come. He just seemed to know, his spidey senses would kick in, and he'd come down and he'd drag me and the kids off out somewhere. And yeah, I mean, I know he loved my two, Isaac and Kaylee, very much, and I know Kaylee still has a grey elephant toy that Moses bought her when she went in hospital at the age of 3 to have her tonsils out. And he came to visit her via a car boot on the way and bought her an elephant teddy, and you've still got it, haven't you? I think during the last 18 months we probably saw more of each other than we had done for a long time. And we used to go out mooching a lot. We both shared an interest in photography, which he really, really encouraged in me. And took me places where I probably should never have gone, but I would never have seen without him. Lots of derelict factories, just all sorts. He'd always have the heads up when there was a new bit of street art or somewhere else had been unboarded and we could get in. So, you know, he took me to some brilliant places and I would never have been without him, and really showed me a different side of Sheffield that, yeah, no one else had done that. And I don't know what I'm going to do now because I've got no one to go out on a mooch with, so I'm going to really miss him for that. But he'd also, there was another side to him. He used to come, he'd take him to come into our house on a Friday night, armed with big bars of chocolate, to watch Coronation Street. And we'd laugh and joke, and he had this notion that me and him were going to grow old together, that he was Jack and I was Vera, and we were going to live in the same house and keep each other company. But he would always remind me that he was celibate, so I shouldn't get any wrong ideas about him, because it would be purely platonic and non-sexual, but we would spend the rest of our days living together in bliss, watching curry and eating chocolate. I don't know what else to say. I'm just waffling on, really. I'm going to miss him more than... if you'd have said this a few weeks ago when he was still here, I'd have said, bloody old Moses, sod him. But I'm going to miss him more than I could ever think possible. I just loved him. He was one of my best friends, and he's absolutely irreplaceable. So there you go. Gonna miss him.
Jesus, right. I can only echo what Sir Sam and Dave have said, and I'm so quite overwhelmed by how many people are here. I think, like Dave said, I don't think Moses would have expected so many people to turn up, but clearly knew a lot of people. I've wrote a few words, I'm just going to read that. Moses had an opinion on everything, and it seemed that everyone had an opinion on him, whether good or bad. I first met Moses during the G20 protests in Sheffield about 7 years ago. It was a surreal weekend, which included a full day of the two of us being followed round by two police officers, which was a sort of new experience to me, but didn't seem to faze Moses in the slightest. Guess wasn't the first time it had happened. So I think many of you will know Moses through the sort of various political gatherings and demos he attended, or gigs and other local events where he'd always be sort of super glued to his camera. But one sort of quite unique experience I have of Moses is of living with him. A few years ago, he moved in with me for a few months while he was in between accommodation, which seemed to be his permanent state. And it was during that time that I got to see another side to him. He was actually a really good cook, and seemed to spend most of his time when he was at mine in the kitchen. And I'd come home every night to sort of home cook chilies and curries and stuff, which was sort of greatly appreciated. I think the most surreal thing was every so often he'd sort of disappear into the bathroom for hours on end and emerge wrapped in pink fluffy towels, the turban and the lot, smelling of my favourite bubble bath, which he'd sort of invariably used the full bottle of. And yeah, which was, yeah, I think that's going to sort of be etched in my memory forever, so I'll thought I'd share that image. You know, we all know he was infuriating and he was difficult at the best of times, much like an older brother. Indeed, when we were out and about, he would often introduce me to people as his sister, and that's how he viewed his friends and those closest to him, sort of Sam and Emily and other people here, that he viewed as his extended family. I think one thing that happens when anyone sort of dies is people try to make them out to be some sort of saint, and I don't think anyone's, certainly from sort of people who've spoken so far, is going to do that with Moses. Like Dave said, he could be an absolute pain in the backside at the best of times, but he was a loyal friend, he had a lot of love to give, and sort of life with him was always a bit of an adventure, and I hope wherever he is now, he's enjoying his next adventure and sort of causing as much mayhem as he always did. And yeah.
Gosh, lots of people. I've known Moses for about 12 years, but it's in the last few months that I got to know Moses through Sam a lot better. He annoyed me most of the time. I had huge rows with him. First time he met my daughter, he told her never to do anything that I told her to do and to do what she wants, and she's taken that advice since. Great. Cheers, Moses. We disagreed on virtually everything. But when he was in hospital, what struck me the most was how loyal his friends were and how none of us wanted to leave him. And that is a special person, to be able to get that kind of loyalty from people. And I'm going to miss him a lot, along with everyone else. Anything else I would have said has already been said, so I shall leave it there.
Right, well, I don't really want to go over the things we already know about Moses. I'd just like to say a few things about my personal friendship with Moses and what that kind of crazy world was all about. I've known Moses for about 7 years. And it's really over the last 3 years that things kind of developed into what they eventually developed into, which was a lot of urban exploring, a lot of going into old factories and warehouses and lunatic asylums and all kinds of places. I used to often get a phone call on a Saturday, and there'd be Moses excitedly telling me, "Dan, you won't believe where I am. In fact, we're just there earlier on. George Barnsley's, I remember that. I've got into George Barnsley. I can't believe it. You could..." So I'd meet him on the Tuesday. It was always a Tuesday for some reason. That was my slot with him. And we'd go into these strange worlds, me, him and Andy there. And I've got to say, they were some of the most fantastic times that I've ever spent in my life. It was a strange mixture of things. I mean, everybody knows Moses as the anarchist, as the political activist or whatever. But the thing I had with him when we used to go into these old places was an immense sense of calm, which might sound pretty unusual. Well, I say calm, it was calm most of the time. I remember one time we went looking for an old farmhouse out in Derbyshire that we'd got a lead for. And the access to where we thought it was through the back of an old quarry. And we spotted a security camera, and I thought it was probably not a good idea to get over the fence where the security camera was, because we'd be seen and busted immediately. So I led the expedition through the woods, and we came across a stream, and the stream it was no more than 2 foot across. You could have quite easily stepped over it. But Moses had his paranoias and insecurities and whatever. And Dan, you've got to help me get over this stream. So I grabbed, got hold of, what do you want me to do? And I grabbed him, and he pulled me, and I pulled him, and we both ended up in the stream. And I got to tell you, that day, I don't think I've laughed so much in my life about that episode, even though it's, well, that kind of sums him up, really. If you were his friend, there was a, I would say, a 50-50 chance that at the point where he died, you were incommunicado, because my relationship with him was very cyclic, up and down. We kind of had a little tiff in November where he stood me up. He did his stand-up routine, as I call it, where you arranged to meet him and he didn't turn up. And I decided, oh, enough is enough. But coming into December, I was just looking at some old films of his. Old films of him that I'd shot. And I had this amazing sense of affection. So I messaged him. And he came down to a video shoot at an old factory, Stanley Tools, which, coincidentally, he put me onto. And that was on the 29th. I remember the last time we met in the way we always do. We greeted each other, where he came to shake my hand. And, of course, you don't shake Moses' hand. That's not a good idea. So I, that, and bear hugged me. But that was the last time he greeted me. And as he wandered off into the night, that was the last time I saw him fully functioning. I went back to that place a few days after he died, and everything was exactly as we had left it. Even his can of Red Bull on the floor in the place where he discarded it. And it was at that point I realised that going into these old buildings was never, ever going to be the same again to me. So I, as people have said, and as I'm sure you all feel, will miss him absolutely immensely. Things ain't going to be the same again.
Hi everyone, I'm down as Gillian Creasy from the Green Party, and I quite hear what Sam had to say, that Moses was absolutely clear he would never vote for anybody. I accept that, Moses, although like there was one local election where he said he might just make an exception for the Green Party on this occasion. So if I've got one thing to ask you, Moses, it's did you or didn't you vote that year? But I know that when I stood in the general election last spring, I was walking with my husband on Division Street, and he caught up with us. That's often where I saw him. And he said, here you're standing in the general election. Are you going to get one of those duck houses? Because I'll come and squat it for you. When I heard Moses had died, when I heard he was ill and when I heard he died, the main emotion for me is shock. I just can't believe that somebody with that kind of energy and life force would die. It just shock. That's where I'm at the moment. What he meant for me was challenge, just like always challenging me in whatever role I had in public life. I suppose he would challenge me. So as a counsellor, he would come to me. I wasn't actually his counsellor. I don't think he actually ever formally lived in Central Ward, but I was his counsellor. And it was mostly around Sheffield Homes, and he would be pushing me to push Sheffield Homes. I'd say, come on, Moses, you know, they've done everything they can. No, they haven't. You know, where's your revolutionary spirit? You can... So just pushing me, and that, I really valued that, of being kind of pushed out of my box all the time. In my other life, I'm a GP, I've been a doctor, and he pushed me on that as well. I mean, a lot of people may know that he didn't have a regular doctor because he was on the violent patient list. And actually, the last contact I had with him, it was just he'd been up to casualty, he'd be given some antibiotics and told to see his GP the next day. And of course he said, well, I haven't got a GP. You know, what he had to do was go out to some god-awful place in Meadow Hall, 24 hours notice, that they could get a security guard, see somebody he'd never seen before with no notes. You know, just treated like shit. And so I was kind of in the process of trying to get an appeal on that. That was kind of the last bit of work I was trying to do for him. But again, just really challenging me, thinking, you know, what are we doing in the medical profession that we treat people like Moses in that way? And, you know, maybe if he'd been on a medical list and had a flu jab, we wouldn't all be here now. And it's, you know, it really is challenging at the deepest level of how we look after each other. And then back to the Green Party, he continued to challenge me and my position in the Green Party. I suppose the penultimate contact I had with him was, I don't know if anybody know about this, but there was an application, a planning application, to put a drug misuse clinic on Townhead Street. And I took the side of the residents who live nearby who were doing a NIMBY on it. We don't want a drug misuse centre near us, and, you know, help them go to the planning board and all the rest of it. Moses comes up to me on the street one day, what the hell are you doing? You know, that drug misuse centre, where do you stand on that? Why are you objecting to that? I think, oh yeah, right, yeah, Moses, you're quite right. Backtracking. So it's the challenge, that's what I'll really miss. And the only other thing I want to say is just how amazing it is to see so many people here. And always I've known this about Moses, that he had fantastic friends. The people that I knew particularly were Andy and Deacon Dave, who, I mean, obviously there's loads and loads of others, but just those are the people that I know best. And I suppose, you know, somebody like Moses brings out the worst in people, but also brings out the very best in people, and I treasure that as well.
I'm Peter Jones. Other people might know me by my stage name, which is Pete, and the first word begins with F. I've known Moses 25 years, and I think he would be really pleased with the amount of people that had turned up. I can't remember when I first saw him. I think he used to come to gigs and read his poems in gigs I used to play at. I remember the last time I saw him, he was walking up and down outside a cafe that I was sat in. I was starting to get worried. He was going backwards and forwards past the window. And I was thinking, oh, don't come in. Don't come in, Moses. There's going to be some trouble. And sure enough, he came in, didn't see me. And he turned to his solicitor, who's here today somewhere. And he said, summit, working class. Summit, middle class. Summit, you bastard. And I was sat with my girlfriend at the time, and I said, that's one of my best friends. And she said, I really like him. And while this was going off, all this shouting, the waiter in this cafe was getting a bit worried. And he wanted to try and help, so he walked over and he said to the solicitor, are you all right? Is everything all right, sir? And he said, yeah, that's a good friend of mine, referring to Moses, which I thought was a really nice thing to say. Like I say, I've known him 25 years. I probably spent 24 of them trying to avoid him. But 20-odd years ago, I did spend a lot of time with him going into old buildings like he loved doing all his life. He said to me one day, I want to go up Darnell to go into the old children's home where he used to live. And I thought, well, what for? But sure enough, we went up. We broke in. And I thought, well, what do we do now? And he said, well, you know, take things. I was like, what? So he picked up an old telephone, one of the old dial ones, because it was about 1992. And he was walking round with no plastic bags put in, just carrying this telephone with him, got on the 52 bus, sat down with the telephone on his lap, and this old lady turned round to him and just looked at him, staring at him. And he just smiled at her and said, it's my mobile phone. Another place we went into was Hyde Park Flats when it had been half demolished. And I said, you can't go in there, it's half demolished. The landings run along and then there's a 100-foot drop. He said, well, that, all the better. That's the reason he wanted to go in. So this was about 93. We climbed up this ladder on a Sunday when the demolition crew had gone home. Went on to one of the top floors, walks along the landing, and he just stood there on the edge where there was a sheer drop. And that's what he was like. He just loved taking risks and doing stupid things for no reason. And I like that. He had a lot of stories in his head that he believed were true that weren't. And one of them was every time you saw him, he'd formed this band. He'd got this new band together, a new punk band, and everybody was in it. Paul Mills was in it, and Rob was in it, and probably Sam was in it as well. I was in it. Didn't know anything about it. And he was in it as a lead singer. And it's sad that a lot of the people that he used to talk about being in this band haven't turned up. And perhaps maybe next year, on February the 3rd, people can get together and remember him that aren't here today. You could even have February the 3rd as a Moses Day, National Moses Day. Or you'd probably prefer it just Sheffield, Neepsend Moses Day. So, yeah, he would have been very pleased that everybody's turned up, and I think, like other speakers have said, it shows what a kind heart he had, because he loved his friends, and no matter whether you got on the wrong side of him or not, he had a heart of gold, and he'll be sadly missed.
I don't think there's much I can say that hasn't already been said, really. I met Moses as well in 2005. One of my first discussions with him about anarchy and me being a law student probably didn't help. And in the end, him referring to me, "Oh my God, you're one of these liberals," didn't scare him off. We've kept in touch ever since. And just, yeah, like, I've been away for quite a few years now, travelling. And he was just one person who always made me feel a bit homesick and reminded me what I was missing at home. And was probably one of the people who actually did talk me into coming back. Really going to miss him. Fortunate I never really got on this bad side. I could tell he was a cantankerous old git. But, I managed not to piss him off too much, I suppose. He was just a good, loyal friend who I always knew would be there no matter what. Thank you.
There's one more speaker, Steve Marshall. But before Steve speaks, I just want to speak on behalf. There's one person here that probably won't speak for himself, and he probably won't thank me for mentioning him either. But Andy has been a really good friend to Moses. Moses used to say over and over that he didn't think he was ever going to live past 40. I think he started saying this back in his glue sniffing days, I think Andy is probably responsible for making sure that he did live, up to 45. That Andy's done a huge amount for him. He's been with him almost every day. He's been looking after him. He looked after his money. And as I say, he's a quiet retiring soul, and he won't speak for himself, but it needs to be said. So now we're going to stop for a quiet time when we can all have our own reflections, and there'll be photographs on the screen there. Then after that, you're all welcome to say your piece.
Friends.
I'm going to call Steve Marshall to speak now, and then there's somebody here.
Tirana.
Okay, and then just sort of take it and says, what I would ask you, if you wouldn't mind, just give your name and how you knew him, and if you're undercover police, can you give your real name as well?
Hello, Sam. Friends, comrades, brothers, sisters, hello. I'm Smiley Steve to a lot of you. I don't know what Moses called me, but it probably to this day, but it probably wasn't so complimentary. But anyway, I want to take a chance since today is all we have. I'm not as articulate as some people, so I've written down a few words. I'll read through, Dave, and I'll try and keep it to what I've got on the paper. So what can I say about my friend Moses? Agitator, activist, anarchist, campaigner, comrade. It is impossible to believe that he's now gone from us. I've got many stories of my own to share and of time spent with him, often at meetings, sometimes in squatted buildings. But it was when I first rejoined the Sheffield activist scene in 1998 when there was a campaign on against United States and UK sanctions on Iraq, and Moses and Andy and Sheila and a dozen or so other lovely people were central to that campaign, and we used to meet early on in a dungeon at Carver Street, which I'm sure you'll remember. Moses was always involved, and at first, like many other people, and the people have said this, I found him gritty and a bit difficult, but later, when I came to know him through talking together, I realised that he was not just a caring person, but also sensitive and sometimes very vulnerable too. He had, I just discovered also, been around the hardcore Sheffield punk scene in the early 1980s. He was a few years younger than I was. So we'd sort of known each other, but sort of not known each other in those days too. And we exchanged talk about music and ideology. One of the songs that I used to mention to him, The Only Ones, Another Girl, Another Planet, was a favourite and memorable piece of Moses. Through lots of anarchistic and sometimes collaborative campaigning and activism, I gave respect to Moses, and more so in later years when he really found his niche on those long tree-hugging walks and urban explorations with his colleagues and his camera. The last particular campaign was last year in 2009, when Moses, along with a group of pixies, got involved in trying to save the Earth Centre site from capitalism and degeneration. He was always in at the start of an anti-capitalist action or against injustice, as he saw it. I've got great respect for that. Moses, it's going to be impossible to believe you've left us. I will miss you so much. Friend, comrade, brother, I salute you with the words from this song, "Do They Owe Us a Living" by Crass. Fuck the politically minded. Here's something I want to say about the state of the nation, the way it treats us today. At school they give you shit, drop you in the pit. You try, get out, but you can't because they fucked you about. Then you're a prime example of how they must not be. This is just a sample of what they've done to you and me. Do they owe us a living? Of course they do, of course they do. Owe us a living, of course they do, of course they do. Owe us a living, of course they fucking do.
Must introduce myself. I'm Tyrannosaurus Rex, or my real name is Dan, but I'm very well known as a cabaret drag queen. But anyway, I came to Sheffield in 1995 to study at university here, and almost ever since I came here, I got to know Moses, you know, not as a close friend, but more as an acquaintance from the various demonstrations and political activism that any student like me, even as a mature student, would go on. I remember things like, Reclaim the Cage and Rage Against the Streets, or maybe it was the other way around. I'm sure many of you remember those in those days. And you know, I got to know him through all kinds of other events, you know, such as Peace in the Park, which I don't think, you know, would have been the same without him. And the things that I know, bit was mentioned earlier on, warning people not to mention about too much middle class as well. The thing is, I'm proud to say that I am from a middle class background, but the thing is, obviously, I've been in tune and involved with a lot of you know, radical green activism and all that. And it's interesting to reflect that, like in the last year, you have somebody like David Cameron going on about the big society. Well, in my opinion now, Moses is and was a fantastic example of the big society, looking after everyone, getting things done, you know, like for issues like housing, you know, like sort of questioning the established political order and authority, and standing up for equal rights as well, because with me from not only gay but transgender background, it's I've personally found, you know, what a struggle it can be to be accepted, you know, if you're like different from the norm. And I also have Asperger syndrome, form of autism, and I can empathise with somebody like Moses who had a bipolar condition, and I'm kind of lost for words now, but anyway, Moses, we will really, really miss you, and I know you weren't an easy person always to get on with. A lot of other people have been saying that. I had a lot of respect for you. I mean, not many people, you know, have been able to fight as hard as you have for this or that issue. You know, as I mentioned before about the big society issue, and so many people in the establishment and authority don't have half as much as of the guts as you had.
Yeah, my name's Anthony Goddard. I first met Moses in the street sometime in the 1980s when he was squatting a house near the university. I'd come back from a brief holiday in the Middle East, or from the Middle East where I was working at the time. And at the time, I thought, yes, Moses looks a sort of typical anarchist type of activist. Okay, going back to what Steve Marshall said, I then met him in the late 1980s when they were doing the campaign against the Saddam Hussein sanctions and the Clinton-Blair bombings, which were taking place at that time. And I took some photos of him in Fargate. And then, since then, we got involved when he started to become, as he called, a hacktivist with the computers. And for several years, I regularly had him round to my house, actually. And I still remember him because he was generous to me, and he gave me a coffee pot that I still use to this day. And I really feel that Moses is one of the most generous people that I've met. And his struggle is something that still needs to be remembered, because it is not over. I feel very sorry in the way that Moses has died when we had these great revolutions happening in the Middle East. Anyway, I thank you for listening to me. Okay.
My name's Rob. I met Moses about 13 or 14 years ago. I'll keep it very brief. I just want to thank him for inspiring me, not least to leave the SWP. Cheers, mate.
Moses has been thrown out of more places in Sheffield and more organisations than I've had time to visit. And now we're being thrown out of here. They said he can come in this once, but he's banned. He's not coming back again. So we'll have to move on to the Philadelphian, and there will be lots of time, and you're all welcome to tell your stories. I want to just say a quick thank you to Emily and Sam particularly, who've organised food and organised all this funeral and stuff, and all, you know, other people have been involved. So thanks to them. So we're going to file out. We'll leave Moses here in one sense, but you're welcome to say, if you've got a last final thing to say before to him.
Right, we actually have one last thing that we have to do.
Have to do it, don't we?
Despite all his declarations of being gay, I lost count of actually how many times he proposed to me. The last time was in the middle of cooling towers at Thorpe Marsh, and actually I have a photo of him down on one knee asking me to marry him. But he was always asking for us to give him a flash, and we never did.
We did promise if he woke up.
But we promised that if he woke up, we would do it. And the last thing we said to him was, if you don't bloody get yourself better, we're going to do it. So we're going to do it.
follow that if you can. Right, we're going to file out. If you want to say any last words to him as you go, you're welcome to. One thing, the last thing I want to say is Moses will always be with us. He's there in our hearts. He's there in our memories. Every time we stand up for peace and justice, Moses will be with us. Every time we speak out for somebody who's being oppressed by the system, Moses will be with us. He may not be with us physically, but he'll always be with us.
See you on the way to-